A couple of weeks ago, I was at Grace Cathedral for the Labyrinth Candlelight Walk, which is really lovely. If you haven't been to that, they do it once a month. And they were playing harp music, and, you know, it's a lovely cathedral. Feels like you're in the middle of Europe, you know, in this beautiful cathedral, and the artwork. And so I was just really enjoying the artwork. I was waiting for Brenly to arrive before we were going to walk together. And I came across this nativity scene. And it was, you know, all these traditions, right, that we know, we expect, we have a certain tradition to it and familiarity to it, yet it was so different. And what was different for me, or the way that I experienced it and saw it, were all the figures were in motion, and yet they were still. You know, there was that depiction of, like, flowing clothing and sort of, we're all moving towards something. And then all of their faces were just illuminated with a sense of awe. This collective awe that all of them at once looking at this one experience, this one humble setting where this beautiful light is coming into the world. And so there was a sense of kind of an encapsulation of all the things we've talked about along this journey of Advent. There was this sense of humility. You know, we began with unblinding our faith out, really starting with embracing the idea of having humble doubt. And then we went on for peace, to rest here in the present moment, and let peace just sort of come over us, right? Or come from within us, just to be in that and to rest in that beauty and that peace. And then love, remember we talked about the highest form of love, to call forth and to surrender to and to give over to, agape love, that highest form. And then today we're talking about joy. Yay. So every week we end our service with have fun and spread joy. And so I was thinking about, you know, what do we need to know about joy? It's really quite simple. There are a few components that I think help us rekindle or awaken that feeling, that knowing, that spiritual quality of joy that resides within us. One is to be in the wonder, the awe, kind of like that nativity scene, to say wow. To say wow more often, you know, to be present to when that kind of thing arises in us. It's not something you plan. It just is, you know, it bubbles up. But if we're open to it, if we're resting and open and in the moment and receptive, then we have more of those experiences of wow, of wonder, of awe. And then to have fun and spread joy. It's that simple. So in the essence of this idea, this element of joy that is wonder, that is awe, I this last week I was listening to the radio and I heard an interview about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's a new theatrical rendition of the books and the movies. And has anybody seen it yet? I think it's here in San Francisco, or maybe it's coming. Maybe it's not here yet. Maybe it's just in New York. Anyway, so it's new and it's out, and this man who was a part of the production was being interviewed, and he was being interviewed particularly about the magic. And so apparently they're able to create that experience of people disappearing into phone booths on the stage. And not just one person, but at one point, three people, a spoiler alert, that's all I know, three people disappear into a phone booth. And so this caller calls into the radio and says, you know, I saw it and I'm still wondering, you know, how did you do that? And the man who was a part of the production said, that's the point. That's the point of magic, right? So when you experience magic, you want your as a magician, you want your audience to walk away going, how did they do that? And to be in that sort of childlike state of curiosity and wonderment and awe. We touch joy when we're in magic, when we're in mystery. That's why on the spiritual journey, I never want to get to the place of total certainty, right? Just always want to have a door open, or a few doors, or maybe a lot of doors open to magic and that surprise us and make us say, wow. And that's a part of joy. Have any of you ever seen Cirque du Soleil? Yeah, a lot of you. Oh, okay. I've never seen it, but I've seen, you know, just depictions of it. And so I know that a lot of acrobatic physical feats are a part of that. There is something that makes us say, wow, right? When the human body that can do certain things that you just didn't think were humanly possible, it was always a wow. And so there's that experience. But I did sort of experience Cirque du Soleil one day when my friend Lori was over, and she was looking out the window at my house where I had a lot of big trees and a lot of squirrels. And she said, "Oh my gosh, it's like Cirque du Squirrelay out there." So I came over to watch with her, and she was right. I mean, the acrobatics that were going on between the squirrels and the trees were just, we both sat there going, wow. It was like morning entertainment. We're like sipping our coffee and tea and just, you know. So there's a lot of experiences like that, everyday experiences, right, that if we stay open, that come for us, that come to us, that come through us, that come through others, and awaken that sense of laughter and fun and joy, or just wow, whatever it may be that causes us to say wow. So this last couple of weeks have been a big wow for our staff and board, and it's big thanks to all of you who have so generously sent in your end giving. We have just been opening checks left and right and saying, wow, wow, wow. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. That brings so much joy and so much ease, you know, because then we can just go about the work that we are here to do together. So it is greatly, just really deeply, please hear the gratitude that comes and the joy that comes with your generosity. And then, you know, sometimes we say wow when it's like not something we necessarily wanted to happen, right? It's a different kind of wow. It's the stunner wow that goes, oh, wow. Yeah. I have a feeling that Mary kind of did that when she got to the inn. She's super pregnant. She's ready to deliver. And they say no room at the inn. Oh, wow. How are we going to do this, right? Of course, we wouldn't have that beautiful, humble story of the barnyard and the manger, right? So it's all a part of the divine providence, isn't it? And that's true, isn't it, when we say wow in that way, in the stunner sort of way or the disappointed sort of way, that it's part of divine providence, that whatever it is has come our way that is surprising us, that is stunning us in some way, that is actually opening us to some other kind of blessing that is a part of our journey. We may not see it right away. We may not see it in a week's time or a month's time or a year's time, but we do know as walkers of faith on this journey, that there is a greater divine order that happens, and there are blessings that sometimes are unseen that will be called forth or shown at another time. So that too can bring forth that kind of wow. So what about this having fun thing? Are you having fun?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, this is a crew that knows how to have fun, so I'm really preaching to the choir here. But if you find yourself, just in case, you find yourself getting too serious or, you know, too not having a lot of fun, noticing that you haven't been playing a lot, you haven't been laughing a lot, you haven't really been spending times with friends or whatever it is that you do that really brings forth the fun, I just want to encourage you to ask yourself, what do I really love doing? Have I lost it? You know, have I lost touch with that? What would bring me more joy? What would be fun for me to do? Maybe like Julia Cameron, remember The Artist's Way, a book that was out a couple of decades ago, where Julia Cameron would suggest you take yourself on an artist date. So in the same vein, I would suggest you take yourself on a fun date, you know, just set up a day or a half day or an hour, whatever it is that you want to set aside and say that is going to be for pure fun. And whether it's something you do alone or with friends or with children or, you know, whatever, then that can become a regular thing, that you start making fun appointments. You know, this is what we say at the end of our service every week, right? Have fun and spread joy. And part of fun is laughter, isn't it? Some of my most treasured friendships are ones where we just laugh till we cry. You know, that kind of laughter that just like it hurts after a while that you've been laughing so hard. And that is just so good to laugh. You know, when our goddaughter Grace, some of you met Grace, she and her mom Alice lived with us for a while and they moved out last summer. But while they lived with us, Grace just had, she brought so much joy, as children often do, to our home. And sometimes what she'd do living with three other adults, busy adults, was she would just start laughing. And at first it sounded really fake and really, you know, hysterical and kind of, almost like we were all kind of like, why is Grace making that loud, noise, you know. But she was doing it purposefully, and it would start to catch on. And then it would become contagious. And then the fakeness would turn into real laughter, and we would all just be busting a gut and having a great time. And as it died down, Grace would always say, "It's so fun to laugh." And so, yeah, right. I know, it just what makes you want to laugh, doesn't it? Oh, look, you're lighting up. It does kind of hurt. Thank you to our laugh masters. So, you know, you can just start laughing because you want to start laughing, because you want to experience, because it feels good to laugh, as Grace would say. And ultimately, joy comes from within us. We all know this, right? All the spiritual qualities reside within us. These are gatekeepers, really, or openers, if you will, these ideas of gateways, rather, these ideas of having fun and laughing on purpose or just saying, wow, and finding that sense of wonderment and joy. They're ways that touch the joy that already lives in us, the joy that is infinite, that is enduring, that is always there. Sometimes it feels, for I think some of us, I know I've gone through periods of time where I feel like this thing called joy, it's a little bit elusive. And there are times when it feels like it's maybe far away. And those are times maybe when we've lost a little bit of that connection to the child within us, because that usually will bring us home to joy pretty quickly. So it's the inner work that we want to look at. It's the looking within to find the joy. There's a Sufi saying that says, within your own house is a treasury of joy, so why do you go begging from door to door? Within your own house. There's a great story that Roger Teal tells in the book, This Life is Joy. And it's about this very idea of finding it within yourself. This man he was successful in every way, had every kind of fulfillment you could imagine. You know, he had work that he loved that was creative and engaging. He had loving relationships. He had community. He had children and family and everything you'd ever want. You know, a beautiful home, a great place to live. And yet he felt a sort of emptiness inside. You've heard this story before, or you've experienced it yourself, right? There was a sense of everything looks just right on the outside, and something feels like a gaping emptiness or hole inside. And so he began to search for that. What is that that I'm seeking? It was this idea of sort of this elusive joy, right? So he started looking everywhere, you know, for this, and all kinds of spiritual and teachings and teachers and workshops and books and so on. And finally somebody said, you know, maybe you want to meet this sage who's coming to town. And so it actually wasn't so close to town. He had to hike up into the woods, but he decided, yeah, why not? You know, I've been searching high and low. Maybe this will be my answer. So he goes and he convinces the people at the front desk that he really needs to have some time directly with the sage one-on-one, that he's been desperate and all the things that have been happening. And so from a kind of unprecedented situation, they talk to the sage and decide that he's going to have this time. And so he's led from the main kind of camp area into the woods the next day, and sitting by the fire is the sage herself. And he comes and he sits next to her, or across from her, and he starts to explain. And he starts to explain all his frustration, and he sort of, he's angry and he cries and he's, you know, just sort of letting it all out in her presence. And then he's sort of embarrassed afterwards because she's just sort of quietly sitting there listening, you know. And she says, well, I could take you into an experience, could offer you an experience, but it's going to involve some risk. if you go into this experience, you might sort of languish there. You may not find your way out, or you might find your way out of it. So I can't say for sure how things are going to turn out for you, but I think this could be helpful if you find the way out. And so he was scared at first, and he sat with it, and he decided, this is what I really want. It's what I've been looking for years. So she comes over, and she puts her hands over him, and he goes into an altered state. And he moves into an experience where he feels like he's going deep into the earth, and he's sort of being knocked around a little bit, and finally he just falls onto the ground deep in the earth in this darkness. And the walls seem to kind of close in more, and so he's in this cave. And there's nothing, no light, just he and in this cave made of dirt. So he realizes, well, my goal here is to find my way out, right? So he starts to feel around the walls for where the opening might be. Well, this goes on for a very, very long time, and he's starting to feel really disheartened because he's not finding any openings, and he's getting very tired. And just when he's feeling pretty weak, and who knows how much time has gone by, a simple meal magically appears, a little food and water, and it sustains him, and he continues his search. And he marks his days now with a meal that appears and spends his time searching the walls. Sometimes he'll find a crevice, and he'll start to climb up into the crevice, and he'll get high enough, but then he slips, and he falls back to the floor of the cave. So he's getting pretty desperate and pretty frustrated and pretty angry, and he starts railing. You know, he just starts going into this really crazy rage where he's raging at God, and he's raging at the sage next to the campfire, and raging at life itself, and just in this constant, you know how it is, like if you have that kind of temper tantrum afterwards, it's just sort of limp, right? So he goes into that kind of, you know, just sort of hopeless, dejected pile after this rage and crying and gnashing of teeth. And it's in that time that an insight comes, that maybe it isn't so much that he's just looking for things, but it's the way in which he has been looking for the way out. Because the way he's been looking has been very forceful and controlling, even aggressive or even violent in some ways. And it's kind of how he's been in life and how he's been in this cave. And he realizes maybe that's it. It's my approach. And so he just starts to let go of it all. And he just becomes much more open and much more receptive. He closes his eyes. He begins to rest in that moment. And then light begins to appear. And suddenly, he experiences all this light for the first time. There's just a bright light within him that begins to grow. And as it grows and grows and grows, he realizes he is not inside a cave. That dark cave is inside of him. And he realizes that I'm not just a man in a dark cave, but I'm actually the light. And there is a man with a dark cave inside in the light. And so everything reverses, right? He begins to live from the inside out. He begins to breathe from the inside out, to experience from the inside out. And he comes back into that space where he's sitting across the campfire from the sage. He's found his way out. And he found his way out not by forcing, but by becoming. Not overcoming, but becoming. He found his way out not by the outer means, but by the inner means. By really surrendering, giving over to the one. And so it is in that space that the sage smiles at him warmly, and he feels that wellspring of joy and smiles back. You know that feeling, like when joy just gets touched, and it can be a quiet, it doesn't always have to be sort of raucous laughter or crazy good times. It can also be just that quiet feeling joy can be of just, the joy of the season. There's so many moments through this season where I have those times, just quietly sitting in the lights in our living room with the Christmas tree and the lights coming from the fireplace, and just that kind of, and hopefully you have those moments too, where you receive a Christmas card from somebody you haven't heard from in a while, and you have the feeling of love and connection, but also a little joy, you know, that they thought of you, and that they sent this to you, or, you know, there's 100 million different ways through the season that we have these experiences if we'll just be present to them, right? And so this journey of joy for this man is very much the journey that we all go through, I think. And the key, the single word key in his process, as well as every stop along the way of our Advent season, has really been a word I haven't used, but surrendering, right? Giving over, letting go. And then everything happens. Then we become the receptivity. Then we become the light itself. That's joy, isn't it? That's true joy that we experience. So spreading joy, sharing our joy, is all about how we give over, how we, you know how it is when you share joy with somebody, when you serve in some way, when you give something to somebody, that it brings you joy too, right? So spreading joy actually spreads joy within, and it spreads joy all around as we share with each other. So that's in part why I've added spread joy to our have fun, because have fun is about what the fun we have, and spread joy is about how we share it, and that piece is really important. So that's all a part of the mix. As we spread joy, we experience more joy. I think we're expecting some visitors, but I don't see them in the ready. Are they coming? The door's open? Okay. So, you know, maybe this season of light that I mentioned, this Kwanzaa, solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah experience is really teaching us to both lighten up spiritually and to lighten up in general, right? So that's what joy does. It helps us to lighten up. And so we're preparing for some young visitors that are going to teach us a little bit about joy. Who better to learn from than our children? Okay, great. Like a talk show. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Your guest on the talk show. Sort of like the Oprah show, kind of.
You watch Oprah? Do you watch Oprah? No.
What did you all talk about something related to Advent or Christmas today? What did you talk about? Did you light the candle for a certain thing? Cat got your tongue. We lit the candle for joy. Did you do joy too today? Did you talk about joy? Yeah, okay. You know what sometimes makes me feel really joyful? Is when something happens where I go, wow, that was really cool. Like earlier, Claire lit the candle, and when she lit it, she went, wow. Does anything ever happen like that for you? Is there anything that you say, wow, you think is really amazing? I know you guys have lots to share. Any wows? No? No wows? Okay, so how about this? I think of kids like yourselves as fun masters. You really know how to have a good time, right?
Yeah.
You do. It's true. And sometimes adults, like, we get a little serious and we sort of forget how to have fun.
Talk about it,
right? You are a natural with this talk show thing. Elijah, right? It's Elijah? Yeah.
Elliot.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elliot. Elliot, tell us, what could we do? What could adults do to lighten up?
Make your lives more funner.
Yeah, like what? Yeah. Do you have any ideas of how we can make our lives more fun?
Go to Disneyland more often.
All right. New Zealand, okay, we'll put that on our list. Oh, Disneyland. Yeah, Disneyland for sure. Anything else you all like to do that's really super fun that you think it would help some of us adults have more fun? Lassen, can you think of anything? Oh, you got something.
Relax at home.
Relax at home. Yes, brilliant. Yeah. Oh, you've got something. All right.
Watch movies more often.
Watch movies. Do you have a favorite movie we should see?
I'm watching The Santa Clauses.
Oh, The Santa Claus.
Which one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch the second one tonight.
The second one.
Awesome. I'm gonna look that up. And then, you know, so we're talking about having fun. And then what about, there's another part, like at the end of our service, we say have fun, and then we say spread joy. Is there a way that you're going to bring some joy this Christmas? Is there something that you're going to do to bring joy to someone else? Anybody have any plans? Or maybe you're doing it already. You're kind of doing it right now, I think. Not just kind of. Anything you want to share? Got a pretty fun sweater on. That's bringing me some joy.
We're talking about wrapping presents.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I already wrapped his present.
Oh.
Jenna's like this.
You can give him the microphone.
Is this on?
Okay. Yes.
It's almost like this big.
The present that he wrapped for you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that's giving you some joy, wondering what's in there. And Elliot, did that bring some joy for you when you were wrapping that present, thinking about him?
Elliot.
Elliot.
I'm so sorry. I haven't learned all your names yet. I don't know. Who's Elliot? Is Elliot here?
He's the kid who had the baptism.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember that well. I hated it.
You just don't like getting wet.
So does that bring you joy when you're like
preparing
to make a present to give to somebody? I know it does me because I'm thinking about how excited they're going to be when they open it. Yeah. Well, you guys have been great. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us.
Don't talk shows have baked goods at the end?
Well, some of them have candy canes at the end, and ours does.
Are they minty?
They're minty. Does that work?
I love mint.
I don't like mint.
Oh, no.
You guys can get to cheer.
We'll work on our baked goods for next time, okay? Let's bless our children. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Children, youth, and teachers, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine light within you. Thanks so much for sharing. You guys want to, oh, Splash Mountain, he says, you better see us all there. You want to blow out the candles, guys? Best way to learn about joy, isn't it? Let's close out with an affirmation together. Childlike joy is rekindled in my soul. My days are marked with playfulness and wonder. So it is. Thank you.